Man, it's been a long time since we've seen our buddy Bryant West. I didn't know he's semi-retired.
Oh,
from, yeah, he has. His pen is going in the Ring of Honor at the King's Herald website.
Yeah, now they'll get articles out of me, but after 10 years of watching way too much college basketball and trying to find saviors for this team, I realized I couldn't watch that much college tape anymore.
I'm also guessing you didn't think you were going to have to cover this draft this year.
Not at all. No, this entire year. Was there anybody in Sacramento that didn't think in their heart of hearts, oh no, that pick's going to Atlanta, it's not going to matter?
Yeah. Yeah,
even there through the first 2 minutes of the Pelicans game, I was like, we're good.
Well, he was cooking. So that 3 minute mark, man, they was up seven. I was like, yo, they got to go into the second quarter up seven or more.
Yeah.
And they ended up going into the second quarter down or up one, I think, or maybe up two. Yeah. And I said, this is not a good sign.
Not good.
Yeah.
Not good.
And I promise you, the third thought out of my brain when they lost that game was, well, damn it, now I actually have to care about this draft.
And that's the thing we've all kind of struggled with, like, because it's, okay, 13, everybody essentially wants them to trade the pick. And then it's like, all right, well, we knew in the Keegan, even though, you know, again, not no revisionist history here, at the fourth pick, we thought they were going to trade it. We thought that pick had so much value, they were going to be able to get a mini haul for it, if you will. But even at that, we looked at Chet. We thought it was a long shot, but we looked at Chet. We looked at Keegan. We looked at Jaden. We spent a lot of time on those two guys. And we looked at Benedict Mathurin and maybe one or two other guys, but that was kind of it. Like, we were able to zero in on what we were doing. That is not what you can do with this draft.
No, absolutely not. At the end of the day, like, I still expect they'll trade this pick. Like, mm-hmm. I'm running right at that football, and I swear to the basketball gods, if I fully expect that Lucy's just going to hold it there this time.
Well,
but like, the Kings have struggled to finish these. We almost had a deal trades. And if that's taught me anything, it's just to stop expecting the expected with this front office. So we can't ignore the draft pick. We can't ignore guys who might be in that draft range, but the draft is so weird this year, man. It's just so odd.
Well, to that point, this is what we do on today. We get random updates, we read them. Now it's Jake Fisher.
Okay.
Who says, NBA folks keep connecting Sacramento to various wings on the market. Kings registered interest in Dorian Finney-Smith before the trade deadline, sources said. Sacramento's been linked to Kyle Kuzma. The Kings were a potential Zach LaVine suitor, but that seems less likely without Alex Caruso. Mm. So he didn't like break news or anything, but he mentioned the Kings. He mentioned what's going on. I know he's, you know, higher profile than Evan Seedy or whatever the guy's name is.
There's a lot of shade on Evan. Evan didn't bother
they didn't
nobody.
Like Evan at all.
Well,
that was crazy.
No, it was Kyle.
Well, no, then the Chatty House got involved and was like, yeah, he's a bum.
Is he a bum?
I didn't know. They say he's a bum.
I didn't know.
Yeah, I think so. I trust Jake Fisher, though, but Jake Fisher didn't say anything there that we didn't already know. Like, Kings are connected to wings and forwards and on the trade market. Like, okay.
Yeah, Jake. Thanks, really Jake. Working at sources there.
Yeah.
Nice job, pal.
No idea about that.
So the question I always have with something like that is, Jake's saying something that nobody doesn't already know. Why are we wasting a tweet on that? Does he say, you know what, I got to get this one.
Engagement, bro. Engagement. Oh, by the way, I'm sorry, Bryant, because the term engagement's probably not going to come up the rest of the day. The nerve of that arrogant-ass Lakers coach to sit at that podium and talk about, what do you say, the engagement farming that he had been a part of in the media?
Oh, man. This guy.
Bro. You were front and center of that.
This guy.
For 2 years. What are you talking about? Like, how dare you talk down to the people there when that was you? Bro, you whack. I never had a problem with JJ, but that press conference, that dude is whack.
He's very pompous. Very
you've been saying everything I thought for the last couple of days. Like, he might be a great coach. He knows basketball. He clearly knows basketball. And plenty of good coaches have come from odder situations than this. But, man, is he just arrogant.
He's just an arrogant ass, man. let's have some fun here to start this, Bryant. Let's get under Kenny's skin, because that's really just what gets me through the day. Zach Edey.
Well,
what do you think about Zach Edey and the Kings?
Zach Edey wouldn't be my choice if and when the Kings are on.
Oh,
the
that's not what I was hoping you were going to say. I was hoping you were going to say yes.
Trust me.
Let's go.
I'm getting somewhere. I'm not my George. He's not top of my board. I'm sure that I will have George. Multiple guys ahead of him. Most of them wings and forwards that I think this team is in much greater need of. But I'll tell you, I wouldn't walk out of Tom's watch bar if he's their selection. I heard Jesse say earlier on the insiders that if they take Edey, they'd be taking a backup at 13. And even a few days ago, like, I'd have agreed with that and made the same argument. But over the last couple of days, and especially this morning, my buddy Tony Zipteris had an article on Edey over at the Kings Herald. I'm not so sure that we should just assume that he'd be a backup. He certainly would be early in his career. Like, if you take Edey in the lottery, you just shouldn't plan. The Kings should not plan for him just to be a backup long term. I completely disagree with anybody who says that you should be content with getting a backup at any position in the lottery. Mm-hmm. You got to aim higher than that. If he's a guy at 13, like, they need to have a long term plan in place to try to get him into lineups with Sabonis. And that wouldn't be easy. Like, it would mean they'd have to adjust their defensive philosophy. They'd have to play way more zone. Either Sabonis or Edey would have to really start shooting deep shots or three balls a lot more than they have to date. But, you know, maybe that's in the cards for Edey more than his college tape indicates. Like, Matt Painter sure didn't want to take threes. But Edey was popping them at the combine. It's not an obvious fit, but I was on the Kings Herald show with Jerry Reynolds on Monday, and he pointed out, like, it's a good comp. Brook Lopez wasn't who he was when he came out of Stanford. Like, he'd only made three threes in his entire Stanford career.
That's wild.
Now he's one of the better deep shooting bigs of the last decade. So it's not impossible that Edey follows that path. I'll just put it simply. I wouldn't love the pick, but I wouldn't be as upset as I was the last time the Kings drafted a center at pick number 13 when they had an all-star center already on the roster.
Yeah.
Very specific.
Yeah. You're a real Kings fan if you get that reference.
Yeah. Brian, I absolutely will walk out of Times Watch.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I'm gone. Oh. I'm gone. I'll see you guys tomorrow if that's the case. Draft him at 13.
Wow.
Zachy, look, if you drafted him, you got an extra pick, and you drafted him at like 25. You drafted him in the second round as a project.
Can you imagine this team with two picks? What?
What? I think Monty wants to pretend and wants to imagine this team with two rookies.
Yeah, so I mean, I'm okay. We can do that at 13. This guy, in my opinion, I don't want to disrespect him. I was gonna say he's a borderline NBA player. He's not that. You can have him in the league, but
so what is it with you? You guys just don't think he's good enough?
No, I don't. I don't think I think he get played off the floor on the defensive end. You put him in pick and roll situations all day. UConn put him in pick and roll situations all day and destroyed him. And I'm not a Zach Edey guy. He's gotten better as a basketball player over his time at Purdue. I see the improvement, and I can hear the argument that, all right, he's going to be with NBA guys now, NBA coaches, and, you know, they can help him, you know, adjust to the NBA game. I can hear that argument, but from what I've seen right now, not interested in him at all.
Yeah. There are going to be a ton of wings and forwards that if the Kings are making a pick at 13, I'd much rather have than Zach Edey, that's for sure.
Bryant, you wrote about five prospects over at the Kings Herald. Of the five, and we'll try to touch on all of them, of the five, do you have a favorite?
I think my favorite is also the one I think is most realistic at 13, and that's Deron Holmes out of Dayton. you watch him for any length of time and he just makes so much sense. Mm-hmm. Put an excellent junior year together for Dayton, led them to the second round before they lost to Arizona, averaged 20 points, 8.5 rebounds, 2.1 blocks, shot 63% true shooting percentage. He was far and away their number one offensive option. He operated a lot with the ball above the perimeter, really got to showcase an improved driving ability and a pick and pop game from three, shot 38% from three. He just looks like a really high field player who would really fit this team. I think he could be a good complementary four man next to Sabonis and could play some small ball five when he's on the bench. He's a little undersized for the position, but like he just seems like a heads up dude, plays with physicality, plays with heat. I'm out of touch on this. I definitely didn't watch as much tape as I have in the past. I just don't understand from what I've seen why he's not a lottery guy.
Mm. Mm. I like his game. I like what he did a lot during the season, and then just seeing some of the things he did in the tournament really piqued my interest as well. That's an interesting prospect for sure. What can you explain to people who either disagree or aren't as familiar? Why is a lot of the Kings community so locked in on Ron Holland?
Well, because we have a very specific type that we need in Sacramento. We need a four man who can protect the rim somewhat and shoot the three ball somewhat. And, you know, that's the kind of guys we've been looking for forever. Kind of in that Bobby Portis, Naz Reid kind of frame. Maybe seems hyperbolic to expect that he'd get to that point early in his career, but you know, it's a very specific player type that you got to idealize next to Domantas Sabonis. And he sure looks like he's got both of those things. The big concerns I see from folks is that who's he guarding at the next level? Is he athletic enough to guard fours? And tape I saw sure looked like he was athletic enough. I don't know. Mm-hmm. He just seems like a really Monty kind of guy. Mm-hmm.
Ah, and there's the old Monty kind of guy. Did you have any names in your top five that you go, and this probably isn't a Monty McNair kind of guy?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's the guy if you ask my heart of hearts, who do I hope ends up a King at the end of the day? It's Ron Holland from the G League Ignite. Mm. That's who I want. He just doesn't seem like a Monty McNair guy. He's definitely more of a project player. You're betting on his athleticism, his motor and versatility to you know, probably be an energy guy early in his career and then figure it out as it goes along. He's one of the youngest guys in this class, but man, when I watch that tape, he just pops. And he was doing it against grown men NBA hopefuls, mm-hmm. averaging 19.5 points, nearly 7 rebounds per game, 2.5 steals per game. Shooting's a big problem. Deep shooting's a big problem. His decision-making's a problem. But, like, on defense, he was matching up on the point of attack against so many different G League guys. Mm. Great physicality, tenacity. That motor's off the chart. He plays the exact position, exact role that we've been begging for this team to get forever. Like, we need a power wing in Sacramento. We need somebody who's got the size, got the toughness, got the athleticism, unlock this team at the next level. And I trust his defensive upside. I want to see how he develops the next level offensively. But, you know, if we were talking about a team in the, if the Kings were, you know, top five and they were bad again, it's probably not the guy that you want to take. But when you're a team like Sacramento, you've got the offensive pieces in place. You've got a smart offensive system. Ron Holland makes a lot of sense. Just bring him in. Let him be an ideal cutter next to Sabonis. Let him figure out the rest of his on-ball game as it goes along. He's the guy I really hope they take at 13. I'm not expecting it, but that's the one that would make me go crazy tonight.
Is it worth having any conversation about Jared McCain? You wrote about him, but there's a pretty big caveat in there about that write-up in the study that you did on the Sacramento native.
I like Jared McCain a lot. And before Malik Monk came back, like, I could squint and see how it would work. I hope he excels at the next level. He seems like a great young kid, shot incredibly well, 41% from three and high volume. carried Duke in the second half of the season. Rebounds at a great clip for his size. I'm gonna be happy for a Sacramento kid, but no guards, absolutely no guards. Like, this team wasn't able to find consistent minutes for the guards that they've collected over the past 3 years until injuries kind of forced their hand to end the season. And if you're taking a guard, man, you have to be ready. You have to have a deal in place to be able to get existing guards out of the way, or just, what are we doing here? It's not helping the young kid. It's not helping the guards on your roster. It's not helping you get depth at positions where you've needed them for years. And a 6'2 guard, like, the guards that are on this roster are already pretty undersized. So I hope he goes somewhere. I hope he excels. I really hope it's not the Lakers. That's my – oh.
OG Anunoby intends to sign a 5-year, $212 million contract to return to the New York Knicks.
That boy got paid.
Asked and answered.
Ooh.
OG Anunoby is back in New York, and I am not that man's agent, but I'm guessing OG Anunoby is back in New York for right around what he wanted to get paid.
Is my math right? Maybe, yeah. I didn't.
Yep.
Just 40 yep. something million dollars a year?
Yep.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, that's what? Your boy. Hey, they're going for it. They're going,
they
for
going
it.
They're going for it.
Don't be mad.
Randall
got to
be
it.
Gone.
Yeah, Randall. Well, Randall and my light skinned brother's gone.
Hartenstein.
I always get his last name wrong.
Hartenstein. Gone. Mitchell Robinson probably gone too. Kings might need.
What's Mitchell Robinson's status? Is he?
He's under contract, but I think he makes a good amount of money. Maybe you bring him back.
They might have to keep him if they have to let Hartenstein go. Like, they may have to keep him just because they need a center.
Yeah, and still my favorite memory is watching Mitchell Robinson nearly puke at the Golden One Center after running up and down with the Kings in the third quarter. Wow, OG back in New York. Man, what is the payroll? That's not – but it's actually – it feels like overwhelming because of how I think we – like, Mikal's really good. Mm-hmm. Mikal's making $25 million a year. Like, he's not making 50.
Even Brunson.
He's not making KC money. I mean, he's making good money.
Don't do that. Even Brunson still, he's making like 25, right? Brunson's not making 30.
Brunson all of a sudden looks like a bargain after the playoffs last year.
Yeah. So
I think he's got one more. I think Brunson can sign an extension this summer that wouldn't take into effect until 2 years.
2 years, right? Yeah. Yeah, he was 4 years, 104. He's essentially on a Steph Curry deal where he's like on the Steph Curry for the Knicks, and that, like, man, he might have signed the biggest bargain deal since Steph.
Yeah, and the Knicks, that is hey. Like a good look, because look at this here. I believe the guy that goes to the bench in the closing lineup is DiVincenzo.
Mm-hmm.
So they're able to throw out Brunson, Josh Hart at the 2, Mikal Bridges at the 3, OG at the 4, and Mitchell Robinson or whoever you want to do at the 5. That is a tough team. That's a Tibbs team that defends. They can switch everything. That's a good look. That's a really good look. That's a little rich for my blood, but contrary to what people say, he's a big time ball player for a team that's trying to do something. So forget the numbers. Having him on the squad is a good look. Real good look.
I fully agree with you. This is both a super rich contract and a massive trade for Mikal Bridges. But I just got to say, both those dudes have been guys I've wanted to see the Kings get to for years. Yeah. So it's kind of cruel to see them both in New York now. But I love what New York's built. That's a versatile, defensive-minded, skilled team that – really could go up against Boston next year and really give them a run for their money, not beating them.
Man, that's a great point, Bryant, because they deserve all the credit in the world for seeing what Boston did, not just during the playoffs, but this year, and realize this isn't a one-off.
Yeah, they're going to be here.
This team, they got the old Steve Young, the proverbial monkey off of their back by getting that title, and now Now you've got now you're champions. It hits a little bit different when you're a champion. Mm-hmm. And this is a team that's been good for years. It's a team that's going to be good for years to come. And it was a time where New York said, all right, we've got to do it now. Mm. And hey, salute to them. They Absolutely. Did it. This is big time. There are people in the media who have been waiting for the New York Knicks to get back to this point since the summer of 2010.
Go, New York. Go, New York. Go. This is my boys. I'm getting that much closer to that Kings-Knicks finals.
Is that Vanilla Ice?
No.
Vanilla Ice?
He said, go, Ninja. Go, Ninja. Go. Go New York. I don't know who that is. Some New York rapper. They used to play it in the Garden during.
They're paraphrasing Vanilla Ice and the Ninja Turtles.
It ain't Vanilla Ice saying it. I know that.
I feel like that's the fifth city that Kenny's claimed.
He's got a lot of cities, man. Well, None of them are Sacramento.
None of them are Sacramento. Because I've said number one is the Kings. I've always said I'm a Knicks supporter, and I've always told you guys that Kings-Knicks finals would happen, and we're that much closer. The Knicks are doing their portion. The Kings are already on their way.
All right, Pat.
I can't wait. We're going back and forth, right?
Sure. Sure. That's what we're doing. We can't get Odyssey to buy us nachos tonight at Tom's Watch Bar, but yeah. They're going to red-eye us back and forth between here and New York.
We still can't get the $30 subscription to
our spot track. I still got like a $600 bill on all the artwork I bought for the building. Oh, they're like, oh, man. You know, I got a better idea.
Crazy. That's a wild story.
Bryant, we love you, man. It's great to catch up with you. I'm sorry we don't do it more, but it is absolutely awesome to talk to you this time of year, and it's great to read all your work over at the King's Herald, man. Looking forward to another season not too far from now.
Yeah, fingers crossed that nobody's walking out of Tom's watch bar tonight with their feelings. Well, yes.
There's only one guy who threatened to walk out.
I'm telling you, I'm gone. I am gone if that happens.
Note for anyone there, just record it. Just get Kenny's walk of shame. Yeah, just get Kenny's walk of shame.
It ain't even a walk of shame. I'm gone.
Well, King shame.
I'm out of here.
Yeah.
See y'all. I'm doing like LeBron.
Thanks, Bryant. We appreciate you, my man.
I'm going to do like LeBron and Kyrie before the end of the finals. They announced the Zach Edey pick. I'm going to go shake Damian's hand, Jesse's hand. All right, man. See you, dog. Hey, Charlie. Good seeing you, big dog. All right, man. Now I'm out.
Sir, it's 5:30. Where are you going? Kings won't be drafting at 5:30. Did you get the idea? Woo, boy.
That's big time. That is big time.
Oh, so,
wow.
You got to trade Julius Randle, right?
Yeah, do you have to trade him?
Man, I don't know. Look, I'm a believer. Whatever they're doing, whether it's tonight, whether it's tomorrow, whether it's Tuesday, they'll be just fine. Julius Randle, again, $28 million this year, $30 million in a player option next season, the 25-26 season, to be specific. 30.9 due to Julius Randle that year. What could Julius get in a trade discussion?
It seems like the Knicks have kind of lowered his price tag.
Well, we don't.
Indirectly.
We don't know that he's actually on the market. It makes sense. Mm-hmm. But we don't know that they're trying to trade him.
Yeah, we don't know.
And if they are, what do they, like, not asking who they want in return, what do they want in return?
I don't know what that looks like. I mean, you would
I know
think,
what it doesn't.
Huh.
You don't look like Kevin Herter.
Well, I wouldn't go that far.
The way Tibbs play?
I don't know. The only reason
they got nine guys who can like shoot and defend right now.
I understand that, but they're not looking to trade Julius Randle for a starter.
No, but so, I think they're looking to trade Julius Randle for someone who could play the way that Tibbs wants them to play. And I don't know that that's Kevin Herter. Might be Harrison Barnes.
Might be Harrison.
But I don't know that it's Kevin Herter.
Might be Davion Mitchell.
Well, you're right, but where?
Backup point guard.
But don't they run Dante at the backup point guard?
He's not a point guard.
No, I know.
They did it out of necessity.
Okay.
Mm.
Well. Mm. Did you do that?
Damn, man. I don't want Davion to go. But what you saying, like Davion and Harrison?
28.930. Yeah, I'm not going to that stupid ass website, but that feels like it would work.
I think I would.
I don't think you'd have to put the 13 in with that.
Yeah, I don't think so either. My only concern is Randall's his fit, style of play, being able to keep
spreading the floor. Yeah,
that would be a concern. But I kind of feel like I'd just figure that out later.
Could Julius and
I would make other calls first. I would see what else. Okay, I would see if I could still get Kuzma. I could see, I would go one more time around the league to see what I could get. And if they're balking on a deal,
is he fourth on the list? Again, repeat. We have no clue if Julius is available, but
he's probably second or third, right? Like, because I'd say Kuzma
behind Kuzma.
First.
You'll call David Griffin just for fun. Or yeah. Swin Cash or whoever the hell is in charge of that team.
Yeah. I think Cam is probably ahead of
Johnson.
Julius. Yeah, Cam
Johnson.
I like
it. Okay.
But they're really close.
Well,
I think Julius Randle a lot. Like I said, I'm one of the three people here that really likes
three.
Julius
Randle. Yep. We're all going to get jumped tonight at the building. Damn shame what happened to D'Lo Casey and Will Z. Oh, man.
Matthew in the Matthew's Mattress Chatty House says you could still get Kuzma with Herder in the 13th and use Harrison and Davion package to get Randall.
Yep.
Who's your starter? But now we're running out of slots. Yeah. Unless you want Kuzma to be your sixth man or something like that. Because who's the two guard? Because if you get the deal for Randall done, he's your four. So bonus is five. Keegan moves to three.
Mm-hmm.
Just for sake of argument, you don't have a two guard, and you got De'Aaron Fox. You put if mm-hmm. Where does Kuzma go?
I don't know. As a bench
guy, I don't see Kuzma as a bench guy.
I'm trying to see,
but that would it's good. Well, I don't have a problem, John Poles, with Kentucky. But that would match New York's Villanova with Sacramento's Kentucky connection. Julius Randle here in Sacramento. It gives us three Kentucky guys.
Well,
four. Trey Lyles. Hmm. Let's go.
What OG signed for? 212?
212. 5 years, 212.
Man. I'm not going to hit the music, but this, what a moment for OG Anunoby. Wow. 7 years in the league. To this point, OG Anunoby, he's the former number 23 overall pick in the draft.
What are we doing?
We could do it if you want. It's the same situation as it was with Josh Hart, though.
Well, it doesn't have to be. The commissioner, Jack Tunney over here, is saying we can't do the whole deal.
You want to do the it wouldn't make sense to do the whole deal because we just got the whole deal, and Jesse's not even listening to us. He's not even listening. No, bro, you're a crook, bro. You are such a crook.
What happened? I got new
no,
Charlie
no, he's a crook. No, that's what it is.
You're trying to steal wins again.
He's a cheater. He's a cheater, and he lets us in
every once
in a while.
How was that a cheating move?
What did you do today?
No. I didn't say you cheated right now. I say you let us into your thinking every once in a while. You've cheated the game. You have disgraced the game. You have disgraced the PWL. And, man, if I'm Adam Silver last night on Clipped, boy, you're about that close.
Yeah, you going to do something about this, actually?
Hey, no, look, great time out. That's a good call. What about how Adam Silver was talking to Shelly? He was talking to Shelly like, whatever. We don't want you to own the team. You can do whatever you want. I don't care. You're out of here. You only own 50%. That's not enough. We've got a vote set up for next week, and your ass will be out. You want to take control? You've got 10 days.
I love the idea that that's how Adam Silver talked to Shelly.
Shoeless Joe Caraway over here.
Wow. Not far off.
Kenny Rose.
Hey, so, man, it was just right there.
So we can have some. Okay, we can have some fun with this. Why not? I also, by the way, I saw this earlier. Tay is talking to me. By the way, he's not talking to either of you, as it says D'Lo in all capital letters.
Yeah, he wants the pocket watch. You
pocket watching upgrade. Have both right guesses down. That way, there's no advantage to the over-under game that you both play.
Tay.
And I got to be honest, as the commissioner, as the Jack Tunney and the Sergeant Slaughter and the Gorilla Monsoon of this, I like that idea.
You guys can make that call without me. We've been playing a certain way all season.
Tay, shut the hell up.
Whoa. We're not doing it.
That is the home field advantage. If you're getting it right, you get that opportunity. We both have to live through it. We both had to persevere through it.
And you know what?
We're not changing that.
And you know what? Last year, in the middle of the NBA season, Adam Silver said, we're going to stop calling fouls. Sometimes you just got to adjust, pal.
Is this true?
Tay? I like it. I think we're on to something. And look, the chat popped for it.
And the chat's been wanting. Like I said, you guys make the decision. I won't say anything.
No. There ain't no you guys.
I'm just saying.
I'm not agreeing to that in the CBA.
Someone's stressing.
I'm stressing nothing. Did you guys forget? I came back from being down 3-12. That was my record. I battled back. I dug out of the mud to get to 21-19. It can be done. Get to work.
Wow.
Kenny and Jesse will write down their guesses when D'Lo and Casey return here on ESPN 1320.
If your day sounds like,
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
I was like, who? Yeah, Elgin.
Yeah, Elgin was going in.
Elgin. We laugh at that show.
I take the show for what it is now. I don't look at it as being on the same bar as Winning Time. It's not that good of a show. So now I can watch it and accept it for what it is. I thought the last two episodes was cool. They were fine.
The episode, you know who's... I don't know what point they're trying to get across.
We're talking about Clipped, by the way, for anybody.
Yeah, I don't know what point they're trying to get across, but V is a tough watch.
Mm. They got her looking.
She is an extremely uncomfortable individual.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very odd.
Is this show supposed to be serious or funny?
It's not supposed to be funny.
It's not supposed to be funny.
I think it's serious.
We think it's funny.
The characters are almost like over the top to where it's like, okay, this
but
is
But I
like
don't,
a little...
no, I disagree. I don't think they're over the top. They're over the top to us.
Right.
Okay. I think because we know TV. Chris Paul and Doc Rivers and all those guys. So it's over the top to us, but I think the average viewer, it's
just
not.
Regular TV.
Yeah, it's just TV. Yeah. And they know Lawrence Fishburne.
Right.
And they know Ed O'Neill.
Mm-hmm.
So they might not know Donald Sterling. They might know of the situation. Mm-hmm. But like the way they're portraying V and I admit, like, I wasn't watching V on Barbara Walters.
Right.
I did not do that.
Right.
That's
a lot. Like I said earlier though, the casting is spot on. The more I watched Uncle Murder, that's what I call him. Playing Chris Paul, like when he went to Doc's condo or whatever, and just the way he was talking,
Doc's
the way
place
he was moving,
was cold.
It was fire.
Man, Doc's place was
like,
cold. Is that where you stayed in L.A.?
That's not where I stayed.
Oh.
Although I went to a club that was up on the... I don't know. I wanted... 88 seems...
Hollywood Hills?
No, they have a restaurant that's on the 88th floor. I didn't go there. But there was a place in the National Bank building that basically it was a club where Doc ended up, like by the pool and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
It was a club up there. It was actually pretty cool.
Okay.
Very, very cool. But I just went to an establishment. I didn't
You stayed on the floor below.
I didn't know. I didn't stay anywhere in that building.
Very, very
the
nice.
Fact that you were in the vicinity of it just shows how much of a baller you
anybody
were.
Can go there.
I don't
it's
think
a regular
that's
place.
That's not true. In most places, L.A., you need, like, to know somebody. Like, you can't just go to the Soho Club. Like, you have to know somebody.
Well, this wasn't the Soho Club.
Well, yeah, but...
This was just a regular little club.
How much does your membership to the Soho Club cost?
I don't know anything about that. It's cheaper than your membership to Family Fitness. What was it?
Lifetime Fitness.
Dan, I don't know. Dan won this game. Of course, Kenny's not going to know how much he pays it. Like, financial advisors for that stuff.
Right. Yeah, I think you're just taking the show for what it is.
It's okay. Like, it does.
I'm ready for it to be over.
Exactly. I'm ready to end at the right time.
I'm ready for the last episode. I don't like seeing Ed O'Neill play Donald Sterling at all.
He does a good job.
He does.
Like,
he's so good.
He does a great.
It's just
job
like
Donald Sterling.
Yeah.
His cadence, the way he talks. Like, it's impressive.
Just walking around in his bathrobe lonely. And then just going outside to the two reporters that are left. I want to talk. All right.
I was thinking about it. If they did a Winning Time from like when Mark Jackson was with the Warriors till the end of KD, I feel like that'd be pretty solid.
Oh, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like that'd be like the one I'd want to see next.
Yeah. That'd be incredible.
V, remember, I was the one that got you the kids there. Help me.
Well, see, you're destroying that. But... He was so convincing right there.
Fantastic. Fantastic. The only part in the last two episodes where I rolled my eyes was Doc during the riots. Wearing the Doc Rivers jacket.
Yeah, that was tough.
To go to the supermarket. Well, and then they looked.
The thing that said,
please, I don't have that much. You can go ahead of me.
The whole interaction though with Doc and his dad.
Oh man, that was crazy. That was the dad. That was a trip.
And it was like, yeah, no, that is crazy. And the bad haircut, the fake bald head that they gave him was just insane. But it's always like fascinating watching in a situation like that. He's battling with what's going on in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. And he's, you know, thinking about the racism that he's experienced and Donald Sterling and all of this stuff. And he's like, meanwhile, here comes his white wife. And like, he immediately picks a fight with her. It was like, sir, did you not know she was white? Like, what are you doing? Like, he immediately picks a fight with her. Like, all right, man. Like, all right.
And then, like you said to his dad, that was clear to... I was unclear, like, what the dad's angle was. Like, what was he... Was he giving advice?
I don't know what he was doing.
What the dad was doing. Then he answers the door.
Was that little Austin down there,
that's
too?
That's what I wondered, too. I was trying to hear a name. Save he said
did
Austin.
Did they have to get a little Austin cameo in there?
The dad answers the door. He goes, it's a white woman.
Yeah. Who brought a big old tray of oranges? Again,
that was at that point. I was almost done with the show. I said, this is getting ridiculous.
Yeah, that was.
Luckily, they never went back.
That was a tough, like 8 minute stretch. Young Doc Rivers, I was not here for. I was like, this is not what I'm here for.
I think you mentioned it, but I actually had to see it. The guy was literally walking around L.A. with his
Clippers jacket
never
on. This Rivers.
That's like if Monk walked around Sacramento with the Monk warm-up jacket.
No, like, no. Just no. Man.
That, and then I was able to laugh again when Draymond and Steph came back on the scene.
So that's the other thing that I'm glad that they were driving home, and for those that are watching clipped and maybe didn't hear the podcast, how close they were to walking out. Mm-hmm. Not just they being the Clippers, but the Golden State Warriors. Man. How close it was before Adam Silver gave that press conference to shutting down,
mm-hmm.
which would have been, you know, it became common, you know, a couple of years later in 2020 and 2021, common, you know, relative. But Yeah, that was a thing that I think kind of was like mentioned in passing from time to time. Mm-hmm. It was really, you know, I think it was, is it called the Sterling Chronicles? I can't remember what Ramona's podcast was called. Yeah. But yeah, they made it clear like this game's not being played.
Mm-hmm.
And then that was like Adam's hand was kind of forced, like, no, it is. Yeah. Stay tuned. I got you.
Adam must have saw my Facebook post that day too.
What'd your Facebook post say?
Said I love the NBA, but I can't watch if they don't do something. Hours later.
Do you think you would have followed through with that?
Yeah. I would have followed through with that.
You wanted to watch the NBA again? No. Night?
I was like protesting. So that means I would have came back.
So you were gonna take a knee for one game, but you would have saluted the national anthem the next one.
I don't know when I would have came back to the NBA playoffs, but I said I can't. It was indefinite.
Kenny was working that night anyways. He was just like, nah, I got it.
It was indefinite. I put it on Facebook. I said, I love the NBA, but I can't watch as long as they don't do anything with Sterling.
Mm.
Adam Silver saw that and said, we can't lose Kenny.
Stern didn't die till 2020, so he was alive when that happened. I wonder if he was elated, frustrated. I wonder what David Stern's reaction to that was.
I would love to see a 30. I don't know if it needs a whole 2 hours, but a 30 for 30 short on the NBA side, on the Sterling side,
Silver side. Yeah, yeah.
Of how those 2 or 3 days went for them.
Yeah, that's a great call. I love that idea. For those just tuning in, OG Anunoby back with the New York Knicks to the tune of about $40 million per year. He got paid. I was looking at, I already closed it. Shout out to SpotTrack. Maybe they just know how this works because they got OG's numbers up there quick. That's what I was looking to see. And they sure enough got it up there. It'll average out to, you know, 40 plus, but it's the 8% increases. So it's actually starts at like 38 something and goes all the way up to like 48 something by the time all is said and done.
I was just going to go to our guy, Ian Bagley, tweeted out, New York guy. OG Anunoby would have had max offers coming from other places per sources monitoring the wing market. But Anunoby saw the vision with the Knicks and wanted to help build a true contender in the Garden, SNY sources say.
Okay. 76ers and Spurs come to mind because there's not very many teams who could offer him a max. 76ers and Spurs are two. He opted out, so he could have signed anywhere he wanted to. So that means there's no trade.
Could the Warriors have offered a max without Klay?
No. Well, I don't see how they could have.
Right? Isn't that what they're saying?
But if they acquire him through trade, I think it's different. Plus, you're shedding Chris Paul.
If they they'd have to cut Chris Paul.
No, they could. Well, actually, no, they couldn't have acquired him through trade. He opted out.
I'm thinking just sign him as a free agent.
I don't think they would have had the money to do that.
No Klay Thompson on the books.
So they cut. I still don't think they would have had the room to do it. But maybe they would have with Chris Paul gone, Klay Thompson gone. I can't imagine they have a full max slot left to sign someone out of the Warriors. We're talking about 2 or 3 teams, and I don't know who the third would be.
I'm trying to think.
I guess Orlando probably has room for a max slot.
They do. I think they do. I don't know if they
would. I don't know that that would have made that type of sense. But anyways, the Knicks are building.
They are.
Hopefully the Kings are too. That's what we're waiting to find out. The draft gets underway in about 1 hour and 15 minutes. Of course, we'll go to draft coverage in about 15 minutes here on ESPN 1320. You can come hang out with us at Tom's Watch Bar. Right next to the Golden One Center. Prime location for D-Lo and KC and ESPN 1320. If you want to come pull up right there at Doco at the Golden One Center.
Do we know if they're doing anything at the Golden One Center today? I don't know.
I don't know. Not that I'm aware of.
Yeah, I, don't, I don't know.
All I'm worried about is Tom's Watch Bar.
That's it. That's it. That's the place you need to be.
I don't know if Matt George is still in here. I don't know if he's gotten the call for media to be in attendance at a certain time. Because that happens on draft day. Mm-hmm. But like a watch party, I don't think that that's happening.
We do this often.
Except with us.
Yeah. Leading up to these moments, and we mm-hmm. ask, and we do check-ins and stuff like that, and maybe one last check-in. What do you think happens today?
Nothing.
Coming into the show, I think they're just going to end up making a pick.
Mm-hmm.
Before, leading up to all this, I was like, nah, they're going to make a move. Coming into the show, I was like, I'm getting a little cold feet. Maybe they might just mess around and make the pick. At the end of this show, I think they're going to make a deal.
You've been texting a lot over there. Are you holding out? I think you're holding out.
No.
It's cold. It's cold.
I'm not.
Game. Cold game.
No, the kid played another baseball game today.
Oh, you got the Game Changer app, huh? Yeah, didn't go well, did it? Hey,
shout out to my boys, man.
The LYB Laguna Gray.
Yeah, 11U, man. Those are my boys, man. Shout out to them, man. Shout out to my boy Jesse. Shout out to my man Julian. My other man Julian, my man Landon. All my boys over there.
Julian and my other man Julian.
There's two Julians.
I gathered that. Yeah. Who's the move for then? Are you leaning towards the Brooklyn thing? Are you leaning towards Washington? Where are we at?
I think right now I feel like it's Brooklyn. I think it's Brooklyn.
Boy, that feels like Cam. It makes a lot of sense right now.
I think it's Brooklyn. I think it's Cam.
This is what the Knicks, who put this out there? This looks like The Athletic. Potential rotation after re-signing OG Anunoby, Jalen Brunson, OG Anunoby, Mikal Bridges, Julius Randle, Mitchell Robinson to start. Josh Hart, Dante DiVincenzo, and Miles McBride off the bench.
Mm. Mm.
Again, they didn't trade Julius Randle. We just thought, like, well, it's a lot of high-priced talent there, but they're going for it.
I like Miles McBride, too. He's a good ball player.
He is. Yeah. He is.
It's a good look. Do you... Let's
you know who I hope right doesn't now. Make a move is like Houston.
I hope. Oh, what the hell?
Well, sorry, Sam. Oh, there's Kenny's guy. Washington is trading. Say his name.
Denny Advia.
No, I don't think that's it.
I think it's
you guys are just saying stuff.
It's closer to
you guys
Advia
are just saying
anything.
Stuff. The Wizards are trading Denny. So to the Portland Trailblazers for Kenny's guy, Malcolm Brogdon, and the 14th pick and the 2029 pick. The 14th pick tonight and the 2029 pick. So here is Kenny Caraway's dream come true. The Washington Wizards can now trade Kyle Kuzma and Malcolm Brogdon to the Sacramento Kings.
I'll take Malcolm Brogdon if it gets
I'm not gonna lie, you come away with Kuzma and Brogdon.
Yeah, I'll take that. I'll take that.
You've brought up Brogdon's name so many. Okay. All right. I'm going to ask this again.
I'm already believing a deal's happening now.
No. I'm going to ask this again. Malcolm Brogdon has been traded like 6 times. Why do you think that is?
Some of it might be him. This particular
I know
case,
Portland sucks. Yeah, I know Portland sucks.
I think this one, even if you're on to something, I don't think this is part of that.
He's the perfect guy to trade, to be honest. Like, he's productive, and his contract is always easy to trade.
All right.
You got Malcolm Brogdon beef?
No, I don't have no beef with Malcolm Brogdon. I just don't think there's not a reason that this keeps happening.
Mm. Nah, you might
someone,
be honest.
I don't think he's like a bad locker room guy.
I don't think he's a bad locker room guy either. Just someone told me he thinks he's the smartest guy in the room.
Well, I could see that.
Yeah. I could see that.
And that includes players, coaches, GMs, owners, mistresses, everybody.
Oh,
I was thinking of V. So, like, he's the smartest person in the room. So I'm vetoing including Malcolm Brogdon in a Kyle Kuzma trade.
I'm trying to think if this affects or doesn't affect.
Is it Abadija?
Could be. Abadija.
Y'all are just making noises out here saying that.
But they say like Advia, I think.
They don't say Avadija.
I would have remembered that. It's like Advia, Denny Advia, or something like that.
Where's the phonetic spelling?
So Portland gave up the 14 and the
Avdija.
Portland gave up the 14 and a pick in the 20s for Denny.
Yeah, pick in the 2029.
Oh, I got you.
The tweet didn't specify either if it was second round or first round. It just said a 2029.
It doesn't even say a 2029 pick. It just says 2029 pick. I think Woj ran out of characters. Has Shams tweeted at all today? Is he off? Is he in Cabo with James? Where the hell is Shams?
Oh,
James and Shams in the same Cabo timeshare.
Do you think this says anything about a possible Kyle Kuzma trade for the Kings? They could have 13 and 14. They could have three first-round picks in this draft. Their own at four, I think they have. Or no, two. Excuse me. Their own at two. 13 and 14.
No. It won't say anything about it until somebody tweets it.
Business starting to pick up, though.
Yeah, there's a lot going on.
Business starting to pick up.
I feel like that kind of just takes the Kings out of the Kuzma race now.
Why?
Because, like, Portland did give up, like, a decent amount for Denny or whatever. I figure Kuzma's going to be worth more than that.
Well, you get Kevin Huerter.
Yeah. Well, yeah, sure, yeah.
You get two players in a first-round pick. And, hell, you can have our 2029,
too. Oh, Sasha?
Cares.
Who's the two players?
It might be Huerter, Sasha. It might be Sasha, Davion. I don't want that, but Davion might be in there.
Do they want multiple picks, like three picks in this draft?
I don't see why not. They could. Yeah, you could. Yeah. I don't know.
Well, hopefully Woj wakes up in time. Woj is working on the Bronny.
Oh, you mean Shams?
Shams. Yeah, Woj is cooking. Woj is still recovering from Dan.
Yeah, he's
got to
get back.
He's still recovering from Dan.
Shams is like, I ain't got to do nothing.
He's going to tweet for no reason. And the Washington Wizards trading for Malcolm Brogdon has Kevin Durant thinking about his future in Phoenix. Pull up on us tonight, man.
Yeah, man. Tom's Watch Bar, man. We're going to be out there.
We're going to have a good time.
Yeah, we're going to have a good time unless Zach Edey gets drafted. And
then Kenny's walking out. Can we thank the – can I just point this out? This is going to be my favorite statistic moving forward for D'Lo and KC, and it's going to take a lot for that number to fall. Mm-hmm. Draft day, and this time of year is always some of our biggest days on the radio, which we'll find out in a month. Mm-hmm. But we can see it on the live stream.
Yeah.
There's over 2,000 people watching the show live right now, which is phenomenal. There were 4,100 people watching the Malik Monk show.
If you
ever wonder, like, what Malik Monk means to this fan base and this organization, for the four drafts, I think we've been lucky enough to cover the Sacramento Kings on ESPN 1320. Mm-hmm. Always one of our biggest days. Even when the 49ers had that Trey Lance pick, it was a massive, massive day for us because of X and YouTube and Twitch and all that. 2,000 plus people watching. Mm-hmm. There were 4,000 people here by the time the Malik Monk show ended.
Man, Malik Monk day was crazy.
Man.
It was crazy.
Will tomorrow be Kyle Kuzma day? Will it be Brandon Ingram day? Or will it be Zach Edey day?
Well,
or just the number 13.
Show up to the show.
Well, Jesse's got a long day tomorrow if that's the case. We appreciate you so much for being with us. Again, come hang out with us. Watch the draft with us. Tom's Watch Bar. We are very literally headed there right now.
Yes.
We hope to see you there. Tom's Watch Bar next to the Golden One Center with D'Lo Casey, Kyle Mattson, Jesse, Charlie. We'll all be in the building. Come through, hang out, and we'll see you here tomorrow if we can't see you tonight. Beginning at 10 a.m. on Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320.
Vamos, King!
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, oh, oh! O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!